Try to do so in a proper amount of time here. And I believe the Lord wants to give us revelation today. Amen. I really do. I believe that I pray for a spirit of revelation to fall in this house. And amen. Not just knowledge that I have that I want to give to you, but I pray personally for revelation and understanding. I want the revelation of God, the Spirit of God at work in us. Amen. I want to continue our series this morning on the power, the work, the wisdom of the Spirit of God that is within us. Amen. If you've been here the last month or month and a half, whatever it's been, you know there's kind of been a theme and of the Word of the Lord speaking to us about the power of the Spirit of God and the working of the Spirit of God within us. And how many feel like you've grown a little bit in knowledge concerning the Spirit of God within you, and just what you have in when you possess the presence of God within you, and so I just want to continue, just maybe kind of maybe peel just another little layer off of this, tackle it just a little bit more here today, and I want to do so by asking this question or these questions. And these questions are something that as we've kind of gone through this series that the Lord has kind of been asking me. And when he asked me, I didn't necessarily have an answer or an understanding here. But why is it that we pray things like this? God, we need you to meet with us today. How many has ever prayed that? Why do we pray that? Why do we pray, God, we need your presence here? Anybody ever prayed that? Okay, God, we need your presence here. Or God, please come to where we are. Here we are, God, and we need you to come to where we are. We need you in this room. We need you in our life. We need you in this situation. We prayed that? Okay, so why do we pray that? Why do we pray that when the book says this? Hebrews 13 and 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So if the word of God, which cannot lie, tells us that his presence is within us, or his presence that is within us will never leave us, why do we pray, please God, come to where we are? Why do we pray so often for him to come to where we are if he's with us already? He never left us. Because to insinuate that he needs to come to where we are is to say that he's not with us. And therefore, we're trying to beg him to come to where we are. Trying to coerce him some way through prayer or whatever to come into our midst. And that is contrary to what the Word of God says. It's quiet today. Why do we pray for God's anointing to come down in this place? God, we need your anointing to come down. We need, now listen, I've prayed all of these prayers. Why do we pray, God, we need your anointing to what? Fall. Let your anointing fall. God, let your anointing fall upon us. Let your anointing rest upon us. God, let your anointing fill this room. The book says this, 1 John 2:27. But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you. It abideth in you. That word abideth means to stay in a given place. It means to continue in that place, to dwell in that place, or to remain in that place. So his anointing stays in us. It abides in us. It continues in us. It remains in us. So why do we act like his anointing is something that's out there? Why do we act like his anointing is something that's kind of, you know, hovering and floating out there somewhere, and we need to try to pray, oh, if we could just get a little of that anointing down here. God, I'm gonna preach here in a little bit. So, man, if I could grab a hold of some of that floating anointing up there, if I could pray enough and do enough that maybe you'll decide in heaven to release some of your anointing and kind of give me a little dab, you know, of that anointing up there, just a little touch of that anointing. Why is it that we feel like that anointing is out there? Why do we act like the anointing is something that's hovering around us and over us? Why do we believe that if we pray hard enough or ask long enough that this distant anointing, this hovering anointing will somehow begin to descend upon us? Why do we pray like that if his anointing, according to the word of God, never leaves us and abides in us? He hasn't gone anywhere. And so God's kind of talking to me about some of this stuff. And as he talks to me, I it's comical maybe a little bit. What God must think when we pray these things. Please, God, give me your anointing. He's like, I never left. I'm right there. I'm in you. Why do we pray and ask God to show us your power? Give us your power. Release your power into this room. God, we don't have it. We need you to give it to us. It's not here, it's out there somewhere, so please give us the power. The book says, Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You receive it. It's yours. It dwells in you. Oh, hallelujah. If you've got the Holy Ghost, you have power. You don't have to pray for it to come down. You don't have to ask God for it to come down. You've got it. I've got it. So once we've received the Holy Ghost, then we've received every bit of power that is available to us through the Spirit of God. We've got it. We do not have to keep asking God for his power. We already possess his power. We don't have to keep thinking that his power is something that's out there, kind of an intangible realm somewhere that we just kind of hope we can get into and hope that he really, no, he's already given it to us. Sometimes I think that we think that, you know, it's totally up to God for whether or not we're going to get his power or we're not going to get his power. If he decides to give us his power, he'll give us his power. But if for whatever reason he sees fit to not give us his power, then he's not going to give it his power. And we sometimes think that way, and it comes into the way we pray. I don't know if you're going to do it. It'd be nice if you did. It'd be nice if your power fall. I just don't really know. It's just kind of up to you. And if it falls, great. If it doesn't fall, then, you know, then you're God and I'm not and whatever. And God said, no, my power is in you right now. I don't have to give you something. I already gave it to you. I didn't take it back from you. It's not a matter of us trying to connect to an anointing or to a power that is out there somewhere. It's not about us doing something in hopes that God decides to release his power or his glory where we are. But instead, it's all about us getting revelation of the anointing and the power and the glory that already resides in us. Somebody said amen. I want to talk about the abiding spirit. He abides in us, the abiding Spirit of God. We got to get revelation. He's not out there. He's in here. Oh, hallelujah. The Holy Ghost is speaking to us as a church, I believe, about the fact that we don't truly understand the potential that we have through the Spirit of God. We don't get it. I don't get it. Maybe you guys all got it. And I need to sit down. You need to come up here and teach me. But I don't understand fully. And I'm just kind of starting here a little bit on this journey. I thought I knew it, but I don't know it. That there's the potential that I have through Christ, the potential that I have through the working of the Spirit of God that is within me. Our prayers are still based upon many times, and let me just say my prayers are many times based upon this faulty understanding that we've got to get God to come to where we are, or our faith is still at a place where we speak in hopes of God making a decision to show up in our church services. Please show up today, God. Please show up today, God. And this is... We know we feel this way because this is what we say. These are the prayers we pray. And the prayers we pray are based upon the beliefs we have. Please show up, God. Fill this place with your glory. Fill this house with your presence. And so we believe that, so we pray that. But he's saying, I don't want you to pray like that because it's wrong. It's a faulty understanding of who I am. And it's a faulty understanding of what you have. Our belief is operating in a place where we're begging and pleading with God to release his anointing. And this is why God is talking to us, because he wants to give us revelation of the fact that we don't have to pray. We don't have to hope that God's power will fall. We have to pray and ask God to give us revelation of the fact that his power is within us. I'm not saying we're not supposed to pray. We're absolutely supposed to pray. We're just praying about the wrong thing. We don't pray, God, let your spirit fall. We need to be praying, God, give me revelation of the spirit that's already here. Oh, hallelujah. And then learn how to release that power, release that presence that we already have, through faith. It's here. Turn to your neighbor and say, you already got it. Now tell him you just got to release it. We do not have to wonder if the healer is going to show up. The healer is in us. Hear me. We just have to be willing to stand on the word of God and proclaim in faith what his word says, that by his stripes I am healed. Now listen, we understand God's going to do stuff that God's going to do. Okay? And Brother Favel, we understand and know that we're praying and we're believing and we're seeking, and God does what God's going to do, and he's going to answer how he's going to answer. He didn't leave it up to me. He's not requiring me to understand how he works, why he does what he does, why he doesn't do what he doesn't do. The only thing he's requiring me to do is to understand who he is in me, and then stand upon the word of God, ask in faith, believe that God is able to do what he said he was going to do. He said for me to ask and to seek and to knock. That's what I'm required to do. Oh, hallelujah. I'm not God's press secretary. I don't have to try to explain why God, or nor do you. We don't have to try to figure out why God does what he does and doesn't do what he doesn't. That's not our responsibility. That's not our job description. Our job description as people that are spirit-filled is to simply put our faith in the fact. Because let me help somebody right now. I'm helping myself right now. If we're always thinking about why God isn't going to do it, and why God does it in some and doesn't do it for others, and we're contemplating all this kind of stuff, then where is the faith to believe that God's going to do it right now? Where is the faith to believe that God is able to work his work right now? If we're so busy trying to figure out why God doesn't do it, and why God isn't able to do it, and why God isn't going to do it for me, what are we doing? We're thinking through natural thoughts. Oh, hallelujah. We're thinking through man-made philosophies and man-made ideas. And in my flesh, I want to know why God works and why God doesn't want to work or doesn't work. In my flesh, I want to have answers for why he does it for this one and why he doesn't do it for that one. I just talked to an individual the other day, and they just told me. They said, you know, why it's fallacy for somebody to get on. They were talking about social media. And they got on. Why is it that somebody can get on there and post something about God healing somebody of cancer, and when my relative has just died of cancer, or my relative has just died of this, and obviously they were going through a rough time, and they weren't mentally where they should be. And I told him, I said, listen, my pastor, Brother Brosom, he had stage 4 cancer. He should have been dead years ago, but God healed him. But my own dad, who had cancer, God chose to take him. I don't know why God works that work, but hear me. The moment I begin to try to figure things out is the moment I try to figure out with my own philosophy and my own thinking and my own abilities. And this is what God's trying to help us with. He's trying to say, you need to stop thinking the way you think. And you need to start thinking the way I want you to think. You need to stop thinking according to the wisdom of man. And you need to start thinking according to the wisdom of the Spirit. According to the wisdom of man, you're trying to say, God, where are you? God, why aren't you here? God, send your power. God, send your healing. But if you'll ever get a revelation of what I'm trying to speak to you, you'll take upon yourself the mind of Christ. And the mind of Christ understands he's not some far-off God. I don't have to try to get him to come to where I am. But the power of the Holy Ghost is already within me. And I just got to let him work. And I just have to have faith to believe that he's going to do it. And if he does it, great. If he doesn't do it, I'm going to keep having faith anyway, because he's a God that cannot fail. 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 And if he doesn't heal me, if he doesn't deliver me, if he doesn't set me free, it doesn't mean he failed. It means he succeeded in doing exactly what he wanted to do. So we got to get revelation. We got to get understanding. We got to get revelation about all this stuff. Oh, hallelujah. And this is what God's trying to help us with. Stop thinking like you think and start thinking like I think. Get upon yourself the mind of Christ. Let me transform your mind. We don't have to wonder if the healer's going to show up. The healer's here. The Savior is here. The Redeemer is here. The waymaker is here. The heart mender is here. The restorer of broken things is here. He didn't go anywhere. He doesn't leave us on Sunday when we dismiss and we got to beg him to come back on Thursday. No, when we leave, he leaves with us. When we get in the car, he gets in the car with us. When we lay our head on the pillow to go to sleep, he's with us. He's with us in the storm. He's with us in the struggle. He's with us in the hospital. He's with us in the courtroom. He's with us in the midnight hour. He's with us in the fever. He's with us with our kids. He's with us in our family. He's with us in our home. Why? Because he's not a God that's afar off. He's a God that's in us. And wherever we go, there he is. If I make my bed in hell, he's there. If I ascend up into the heavenlies, he's there. Where can I go from his presence? He's in us. We have him. We just have to activate him by faith. Believing the word of God when it says that the God that is in us has all power in heaven and in earth. We're either going to believe that or we're not going to believe it. Somebody shout, all power. Somebody needs to put your faith in the fact that the God that is in you, there is nothing too hard for the God that dwells in you. Somebody shout, nothing. Well, I just don't know. He didn't fix this and he didn't fix that. He didn't fix my marriage and he didn't fix my wife and he didn't fix my kids and he didn't fix my husband. He didn't fix my finances. Let me tell you something. There is nothing too hard for God. You see, this is what the Apostle Paul, I got to hurry. This is what the Apostle Paul was trying to get, I believe, across to the church at Ephesus. Because he writes to them in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 17. I'm going quick now. You guys get me sidetracked. Ephesians 1, 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and what? In the knowledge of who? Him. Paul's speaking to the church at Ephesus, and the him here obviously is God. It's the presence of God, the spirit of God that was within them. And Paul was saying it's important, it's necessary for the spirit of God to give wisdom and revelation as it applies to the knowledge of God that is within you. You need revelation about the Spirit of God that's within you, he says. You need wisdom about the Spirit of God that is within you. You see, because if we don't get further revelation, then all he is our ticket to heaven. It's all he is to us. It's just our ticket out of here, our escape out of hell. But Paul said he's more than that. The spirit within you is bigger than that. It's supposed to be so much more than that. He said, but I'm praying that the spirit of wisdom, that God gives a spirit of wisdom upon your life and a spirit of revelation in your life so that you might have greater knowledge and understanding of the spirit of God within you. Because Paul understood revelation of the spirit isn't going to come through any other means other than the spirit. You can't read books about this stuff. I mean, you can get some insight and some understanding, I guess, and the Spirit will quicken some stuff to you, but you have to understand the Spirit has to quicken it. It is a spiritual revelation. And the reason why we have so many apostolics and so many believers that are walking around beat up and discouraged and just out of their mind depressed is because they don't understand who they have inside of them. Because they've never sought after the Spirit long enough for the Spirit to give them revelation. So then Paul continues, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. He said, there's some, your eyes, not your physical eyes, but the eyes of your spiritual understanding. It says, he says that needs to be enlightened. You're walking in some darkness right now, some darkness of a lack of understanding concerning the Spirit of God within you. And he said, I pray that your eyes, your spiritual eyes would be enlightened. That ye may know, when your spiritual eyes are enlightened, you may know what is the hope of his calling. And what the riches of the glory of his inheritance. Where? In us. It's not out there. In the saints. He said, I want you to get a revelation because there is a richness to the glory that dwells in you that you don't get, that you don't have understanding of, but the Spirit wants to give you understanding. Richness there, riches, the riches of his glory. Riches means a fullness of wealth or an abundance or a valuable bestowment. There is a fullness. There is a completeness of wealth. There is an abundance of God's glory that we've already inherited because we are the saints of the living God. It's not something we're going to get. It's not something that one day, pie in the sky, dreamland world, whatever. He's not talking about streets of gold days and pearly gate days. He's talking about right now. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. And he said, there's a richness that you don't get. And so I'm going to pray that the Spirit will give you revelation so that you might understand. Because you're not operating in the fullness of the glory of God. And it's not because God's trying to hold it from you. It's not because God's trying to keep it from you. It's because you're not pursuing after it in the Spirit and allowing the Spirit to reveal things to you. We get to a place where we become complacent. We feel like we know enough about God. We know enough of, man, I feel revelation helping me now. We feel we know enough about the Spirit of God within us that it's going to get us through dark times, and it'll get us through storms, and it'll get us through big, major things. And what are we saying? We get to the place where our knowledge of God is where he's just the God that helps us through stuff. And we get to the place where we say, that's enough for me. Just knowing that if I get in a tight spot, he's going to see me through. And God's saying, there's so much more to me than being your guy that steps in when you get in a storm and help you through it. And then you just keep going back to the same place of understanding of who I am after the storm is over. He said, there's so much more that I want to give to you. There's so much more that I want to show you. Is it 11:07? You ready? So then he continues speaking of the things that he desires for the Spirit to reveal to the church by saying this in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? This exceeding greatness, not just greatness, it's exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power. This exceeding greatness has already been given to us. Then Paul gives a description of this great exceeding power, Ephesians 1 and 20, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Saints, brothers and sisters of the Lord, we have got to get this in our spirits, because Paul was telling the church that dwelling within us right now is the same power that raised Christ from the dead. Raising Christ from the dead was the greatest display of God's power ever shown. Ever. Ever. His greatest display of God's power ever shown was when he raised Christ from the dead. And Paul is telling us that we have that same power at work within us right now. So why would we allow ourselves to live depressed? Why would we allow ourselves to live sorrowful? Why would we allow ourselves to live fearful and worried and stressed out and confused and beat down and bitter when the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is even right now living inside of you and I? Why are we living in anything less than absolute perfect will of God when the power that raised Christ from the dead is even right now at work? Oh, hallelujah. Some of us believe that and some of us don't. And see, here's the litmus test that determines if this is just another message or if this is a revelation. If we're allowing the Spirit to give us revelation. If this is just a message that we're going to forget about in 2 days and keep living in the same nonsense we've been living for years. Or if this revelation that is going to propel us to a new life in Christ. The litmus test is whether or not you begin to operate and begin to live your life like you believe and like you know that on the inside of you is the same power that raised Christ from the dead. That's the litmus test. If this is just another message, if this is just another series that we're just going to tack in with the rest of them, it's going to be a box set in the office somewhere that we've forgotten about in a year and a half, or if this is going to be something that's going to revolutionize and transform our Christian walk with God. It's going to be tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. When you go about your day, are you going to live out your life with an understanding and with a belief and with spiritual knowledge and understanding that the same power that raised Christ from the dead is living inside of me right now? Or Or are we just going to keep going back to all the same junk? Struggles and bitterness and hatred and envy and strife and worry and stress and fear. Why? Why do we live that way? Because we don't believe the same power that raised up Christ is within us. And we fall continually victim to the attacks of the enemy when the spirit that raised up Christ is living inside of us. But we don't walk in it. We don't walk in it. We don't operate in that power. We don't believe we have that power. So we allow the enemy to beat us up. And we come into the house of God and we drag in here and we sit here like a statue and we don't move and we got all kinds of issues and we got all kinds of struggles and we don't talk to this one and we don't talk to that one and we hate this one and we hate that one. We got all kinds of bitterness that's ruining our families and ruining our marriages and ruining our ministries and we got all kinds of junk in our lives. And I'm trying to tell you, you do not have to live that way if you don't want to. Now, some people want to live that way. I talked about it on Thursday, but you don't have to live that way. You say, well, how can I overcome it? How can you overcome it? You've got the power that raised up Christ from the dead. That's how you overcome it. See, this is what the book was talking about when it says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 26, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Infirmities. That's speaking of physical infirmities, emotional infirmities. Any kind of infirmity. So do we have infirmities? Yes. Do we have issues? Yes. Do we have weaknesses? Sure. Do we have struggles? Absolutely. But greater than our issues and greater than our weaknesses and greater than our struggles is the Spirit of God that is within us. And the Spirit helps us with those infirmities. If we will allow the Spirit to move, if we will allow the Spirit to work, it will help us with our infirmities. Every infirmity, not the majority of them, not 20% of them. It will help us with all of our infirmities, whether they be physical or mental or emotional or spiritual. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4, I'm preaching fast now. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is than he that is in the world. How many times do we allow the one that is in the world to dictate how we live, how we think, how we act, when the one that is in us is greater than the one that's in the world? When are we going to stop allowing the world, the one who has lesser power, to tell us what we should do, when the one who has the greatness of power is the one inside of us? When are we going to get the revelation? But it all hinges on our willingness to tap into the Spirit in order to get revelation and get understanding. Because if we're not willing to tap into the Spirit, this is just me up here going blah, 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 blah. And what you hear is blah, 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 blah. It's just a mental exercise of whatever. It's just, I'm here and I'm in church and pastor's up there doing his thing and sweating and screaming. I don't even really get it. And I'm just here because it's Sunday. That's all it is. If it's just a mental understanding or a mental exercise. But if it could ever get past your mind and get into your heart, if it could ever bypass or first speak to the mind and the intellect, but then move down into the heart where you get revelation. You get revelation of what I'm talking about. There's going to be some overcoming that you've never been able to do before. And you're going to be able to walk in an overcoming life like you never walked in before. Why? Because tomorrow when you wake up and that temptation comes, and tomorrow when you wake up and that old feeling of bitterness comes, and that old feeling of hatred comes, you can say, I don't have to walk in that anymore. Why? Because I've got the power that raised up Christ living on the inside of me. And that power is greater than my bitterness. Too many apostolics living out their Christianity like those that Paul would speak about when he says in Romans chapter 10 and verse 2, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. They worship God, but they don't have real knowledge of the God they're worshiping. They understand they've been filled with the Spirit, but they don't have knowledge of the Spirit that is within them. And so we see him jumping, and we see him here. I'm helping somebody right now, because what happens is you come down here and you talk in tongues and you cry and you weep, and then you go home and you get battered by the same junk and you go back to living the same way you've always lived. You come up here and you dance and shout and run the aisles and talk about everything's going to be different, but then you go out and 2 days later it's not different, and you walk right back in the same rut and the same routine and the same stuff you always walk in. And the reason is because this is not a revelation to you. You have a zeal for God. I got a zeal enough for God to shout. I got a zeal enough for God to clap. I got a zeal enough for God to run the aisles. But I don't have a revelation, and I don't have understanding of that God that I'm worshiping. I don't have a knowledge of him that is within me. We see that the Spirit is trying to help us. The Spirit is trying to give us revelation as a church and as individuals about his desire for us to pursue after the revelation of his Spirit, who he is, what he's all about, his power, his anointing, his strengths to usward. He's trying to put something within us, and like a craving. I want to know more about him. It's like it's something within you. Remember when we were on the Daniel's fast? Anybody just crave a Big Mac? Yeah, I know you did the veggie burger thing and made your own whatevers, and it's not the same. But there was a craving. There's a craving of stuff. That's just simple illustration, but you said, and this is what I feel like the Holy Ghost is trying to put within us. There's this craving for the things of the Spirit, where I'm not satisfied with what I currently know about God. There's so much more to him that I want to know, and he's trying to place this through this series. He's never going to be able to explain fully to us what he's trying to talk to us about in a series, but if he can place a craving within us to pursue after his Spirit, then the Spirit will teach us all things. Bible says the power that is at work in us does not need hear me. This is so important. The power that is at work in us right now does not need to be nurtured, nor does it need to mature. The Spirit of God within us was perfect. It was complete. It was lacking nothing the moment it filled us. The only thing that has to grow and mature is our minds, in order that we might understand what's inside. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Grow in the knowledge of who he is in you. He doesn't have to grow. He doesn't have to mature. He doesn't have to be nurtured to, hey God, you're going to turn into something one day. You just keep at it there. No, everything that he is complete and whole. But we have to grow in understanding about who he is. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. Stop thinking like you used to think, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Our minds need to be renewed. Our minds need to be regenerated to a more perfect way of thinking and a more perfect way of understanding. Because too many times when an issue comes, our mind automatically thinks fleshly thoughts, carnal thoughts. And the Lord's saying, I'm trying to give you revelation and a craving to pursue my Spirit, so that as I release more and more revelation into your mind of who I am, then the next time you have an issue, you won't be so quick to think your thoughts, you'll be quick to think my thoughts. perfect thoughts, right thoughts. And somebody says, "Well, I just don't know. I just don't know if that's possible." Okay, 1 Corinthians 2:16. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? See, right there. I don't know. We can't know the mind of God no matter what. That he may instruct us. But we. We already have it. We have the mind of Christ. Within us right now is perfect thoughts, perfect will, perfect thinking. It's not something we, God, please give it to me. We have the mind of Christ. He's already made it possible. It's already in us because we were filled with his spirit. When we were filled with the spirit, we were filled with him. When we got him, we got his mind. We got his thoughts. We got the totality of who he was. He's already given it to us. Now we just have to allow the spirit to transform our mind from fleshly thoughts, carnal thoughts, so that we can tap into the spiritual mind of Christ. This is what it's talking about. It said to renew your mind. Renew your mind. Stop thinking like you think and begin to tap into the mind of Christ that is within you. So we can start thinking like he thinks, operating like he operates. Somebody said amen. So we need our minds to be renewed by the Spirit. Is this all right? Our minds need to be captivated by the things of the Spirit, not captivated by the things of this world. The book says in another place like this, and I'm hurrying. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 20. But you, watch, this is so cool. But you have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. You already know them. Well, no, I don't know everything. I don't know. None of us in our physical mind know everything. But we possess knowledge of all things. Why? Because we possess the Spirit of God within us. And what happens here is as you begin to tap into the Spirit, there is an unction of the Holy One. There is an unction of the Holy One. And he moves on us. And the Spirit of God speaks to us. And when the Spirit of God moves upon us, he taps into the mind of Christ. And he reveals to us the knowledge that is perfect for that issue at that moment, at that time, because we possess already knowledge of all things. We just have to tap into it. We have to listen to the unction, the prompting, the moving of the Spirit as it tries to lead us to perfect understanding. Does this make sense? The unction, it's the Spirit of God. It's like he's trying to take our hand and he's trying to move us to a place of perfect understanding about the issue we're currently facing. But too many times we said, no, I don't want to go that way. My mind makes me want to go this way. And this is where the issue is. And this is why we've got to renew our minds. That's why I believe the Holy Ghost has been talking to us these last month or so about the necessity of pursuing after his Spirit like never before. It's so important that we're doing everything we can do to walk in the Spirit and live in the Spirit, operate in the Spirit. Because the book says in John chapter 6 and verse 63, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Walking in the flesh isn't going to reveal anything to us. Walking in the Spirit is going to reveal everything to us. That's why John, I'm closing. That's why John would begin each of his letters to the seven churches by saying, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. He that hath an ear. He's not talking about a physical ear. He's saying you need to have spiritual ears that are tuned to spiritual things. And so our ears need to be open. We need to have a sensitivity to the Spirit of God as it leads us and as it directs us to perfection as it leads us to the will of God, as it leads us to the wisdom of God, as it leads us to the power of God that is at work within us. Carnal ears are not going to hear it. Spiritually deaf ears are not going to hear it. Spiritually unconcerned ears are not going to hear it. Spiritually complacent ears are not going to hear it. And that's why some have really connected with this series and why others have not connected to it. But those that have connected to it, you are beginning to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. And it's not His will for us to just tap into the Spirit while we're in this series. And then after the series is over and we move on to other things, that we just filter right back to the way we were. But He says, I want you to stay in this. He's just trying to put a craving within our hearts. He's trying to put a craving within our spirits, our personal spirits, that says, from this day forward, from this day forward, from this day forward, I'm going to seek after His Spirit. I'm going to seek after His Spirit. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I'm going to stop. Let's lift our hands. Why don't you stand? Why don't you stand? Oh, hallelujah. Just lift your hands and your voices, your hearts right now.